losing the public health disaster declaration, letting it expire. That's going to mean Alaskans won't be eligible for some federal aid, FEMA, supplemental nutrition assistance. The Senate asked the governor to extend the declaration, but he allowed it to expire. Can you put this in perspective for people, what the Senate can do to make up for this loss?
We did pass a resolution of the Senate. It passed very strongly, and I carried it. And really what it said is that we encouraged the governor, knowing that the legislature was not fully in session, the House had not been organized, that we encouraged the governor to call a 30-day disaster declaration an extension. And actually, we did that at the request of his chief of staff, because he wanted to make sure that the governor had the support of the legislature. But the governor's response was that maybe I really don't need it, and so he has asked all of his commissioners, like the Department of Education and Health and Social Services, to let him know what would be lost if we did not have that disaster declaration. What got my attention was $8 million a month in food stamps that we could lose. If he finds he needs some support in some particular area, like say for food stamps, we could pass that and we'd do it very quickly. But at this point, the governor has not asked that, and he's doing his research. The Senate, as we looked at it, we did not know exactly what monies we might not get, and the administration did not know what monies we might not get from the feds. Right at this point, I'm trusting the governor.
DMV is next on my list. Can you talk a little bit about your conversation with the Homer City Manager about the Homer DMV?
If it was a matter of saving millions and millions of dollars by closing it, we would certainly want to look at that, but that's not the case. So you should know that I'm on that subcommittee of finance, and the chairman is Senator Hoffman from Bethel. He asked me for a letter supporting keeping the DMV open, that the chairman of that subcommittee will make sure those DMVs are kept in the budget. Understand that I'm only speaking for the Senate, and I'm confident that we can convince the governor to keep it in the budget.
A question showed up in my email today. They were asking about Senate Bill 39, expecting to give public testimony today. So the public testimony hearing was canceled today. Another one is set for February 25th. It's sponsored by Senator Schauer. It would end automatic PFD voter registration. A person would check a box on their PFD application to register. It has new restrictions on voting by mail, absentee voting. Some rural communities and villages, I think some in your constituency, run their local elections by mail. Instead of automatically sending ballots to registered voters in those areas, they could only send ballots to voters who request them. And so I want to know if you have any information on this bill, if you support this bill.
I'm absolutely opposed to anything that disallows people to vote. And I also have had quite an experience, I think, with voting by mail. I was able to go to Colorado and see how that process works there. It's worked well for years in Colorado. Let's not do anything that's going to cause fewer people to vote. What we need to do is to make sure that everyone who has a right to vote and does in fact get a chance to vote.
The governor wants to use money from the Constitutional Budget Reserve to fund the next budget. He wants to make a draw of $6.3 billion from the Permanent Funds Earnings Reserve account, more than $3 billion above what the legislature and the Permanent Fund Corporation say are sustainable. About half that is part of a regular draw, and the rest, Governor Dunleavy is calling a one-time ask. Both houses have to approve that. Where are we in that process right now?
I am a great believer in the Permanent Fund. You know, it's at $75 billion right now. It now gives us more money for government and a permanent fund dividend. It gives us more money than oil does. Our oil taxes are less than we get from that. I think we've got to be very careful and wise and not diminish that permanent fund itself. Honestly, to me, it's more important than the permanent fund dividend is. You know, the estimates are that in about 10 years, the permanent fund will be about $100 billion. That means there'd be $5 billion in a few years, in 10 years, to pay for government and also pay for a permanent fund dividend. I know people need it this year, probably more than ever. A $5,000 permanent fund dividend, as the governor has requested, is just too much. It just doesn't add up. It draws more than it should. If we can protect that permanent fund, it'll grow to the point that it'll pay for government in the future. you know it's going to be hard to put it back in over time. So I know we have several legislators that ran this year in the election promising the governor's $5,000 dividend.
Well, also they ran in the last election as well.
Oh, they did.
And the people who ran on that promise were unable to deliver it.
Well, exactly. And the governor has been unable to deliver it just because it doesn't add up. There's just not enough money there. You know, we could destroy the permanent fund itself. We could overdraw it, and it would no longer be there to help us in the future. So, you know, I've got to say that the permanent fund dividend, as great as it is, a $5,000 dividend to everybody, whether no matter how much money they may have, whether they have a job and are doing well, that just doesn't make sense to me.
The Senate Finance Committee hearing on the administration's plan to split the Department of Health and Social Services into two departments. You're on the Health and Social Services Committee. It's a subcommittee of finance.
Yes, and I just met yesterday with the Commissioner of Health and Social Services. And at first, I didn't know if it was a great idea, but, you know, that's our biggest department when it comes to dollars and the biggest department when it comes to staff.
Well,
and
but the Commissioner, the governor wants to add 13 executive positions and cut 120 jobs in the reorganization.
I just talked with the commissioner. His belief is that they can divide the two departments and be more efficient, have a commissioner over each department. So we're looking at it, and I'm on the HES Finance Subcommittee, so we will get into the weeds on that. On the face of it, talking with the commissioner, it seems to make sense. You know, the commissioner tells me that he has been so busy doing the job, mainly dealing with health and the coronavirus issues, that he has not been able to deal with children's services. He's not been able to deal with that. So I know his belief is that it'll be more efficient, but I don't know. We'll find out, and we'll have to look at this very carefully before we jump into it.
You've co-sponsored a bill with Senator Begich in the Education Committee. It's a civics requirement for graduation.
The very reason we have public education in this country is to have people who are educated, who become voters, who become a part of our government. And some of our districts do a great job. The Kenai Peninsula School District does a great job in civics education. The Kodiak School District does a great job. Some of the smaller cities don't. The other thing the bill does, which may not stand, I know some opposition to it, but to become a citizen of the United States, you have to take this 100 question test. I've taken it a couple of times, and a couple of questions I didn't do well on. But there are 100 questions there. All it requires in the bill is that you get 60%.
That's a D.
But, yeah, probably is. But it's a great test to take, and I'd be glad to send it to you.
In public school civics education in rural Kentucky in the 80s, I took it.
It's a reasonable thing, and if we ask immigrants to take the test, we should be able to make sure that our kids, as they graduate from high school, can pass that test. But that's something we've gotten some opposition to, and I hope that stays in, but it might not. The bigger issue in that bill is to make sure that the Department of Education is paying attention to civics education, and they are reporting to us on an annual basis what our districts are doing to help our kids become aware of our government and become proud of our government and become voters and participate.
Well, thank you, Senator Stevens.
It's always good to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Bye.